"If Marie saw that memorial down there today," said Marie Rossiter's daughter-in-law, "she wouldn't believe it. When I go downtown and I go past, I say, 'Well, Marie, they finally did something.' If she was alive today to see the statue, she would have said, 'About time.'" The statue is dedicated not only to the Ottawa dial painters, but also to dial painters who suffered all over the United States. This bronze radium girl, forever young, forever present, stands for Grace Fryer and Catherine Sharp, for the Maggia and Carlo sisters, for Hazel and Irene and Ella too. She stands for all the dial painters, whether they lived and died in Orange, in Ottawa, in Waterbury, or anywhere else. It is a fitting and most deserving memorial. After all, there is so much to thank the women for. "The studies of the radium dial workers," wrote Dr. Ross Mulner, "form the basis of much of the world's present knowledge of the health risks of radioactivity. The suffering and deaths of these workers greatly increased scientific knowledge, ultimately saving countless lives of future generations." "I always admired their strength," said Catherine Donahue's great-niece, "to stand up and unite." And, united, they triumphed. Through their friendships, through their refusal to give up, and through their sheer spirit, the Radium Girls left us all an extraordinary legacy. They did not die in vain. They made every second count. Postscript. "We girls," said one worker, "would sit around big tables, laughing and talking and painting. It was fun to work there." "I felt lucky to have a job there," revealed another girl. "The job paid top dollar for women in this area. All of us got along real good. We slapped the radium around like cake frosting." The women wore smocks, washed once a week amidst the family laundry. They drank open cans of soda through their shifts, sourced from the machine in their studio. They worked with bare hands and painted their fingernails with the material for kicks. They were allowed to take radium home to practice painting. There was radium everywhere in the plant and outside on the sidewalk. Contaminated rags piled up in the workrooms or were burned outside in the yard. Radioactive waste was emptied into the toilet of the men's washroom. Ventilation shafts discharged above a nearby children's play area. The women didn't clean their shoes before they left work, so they walked the radium all over town. Employees recalled that you couldn't work in the plant without getting covered with the stuff. "I'd come home from work at night and look in the mirror and see little specks of it glowing in my hair," recalled one dial painter. "The women's hands would bleed as they tried to scrub away the supernatural shine." "The company," said one girl, "always led us to believe everything was under control and safe. But I don't think they cared." She was right. Before too long, the workers started suffering. "I had to have a mouth operation," said one, "but now my teeth are so loosened that they are probably all going to fall out. I have a blood disease I can't seem to get rid of." The women noticed tumours appearing on their feet, their breasts, their legs. One woman recalled that the doctors kept cutting off parts of her colleague's leg, bit by bit by bit, until finally there was nothing more left to amputate. Ruth, the colleague, eventually died. The women went to their supervisor, worried sick. "A man from the New York headquarters came out here," a radium girl remembered, "and told us our work wouldn't hurt us." Breast cancer, said the executive, is thought to be a hormonal problem, not a radioactivity hazard. But he was mistaken.